Yeah, I had a lot more hair then, and but 25 or so years ago, we met here at the BSU. In fact, we really got introduced to one another well on the spring break ski trip. So I hope you guys are planning to go, because there's a lot of reasons to go besides hearing Howard Hendricks and all the spiritual stuff, and it will be great. But in fact, Vicki can tell you just a quick story about how we really got introduced on the spring break trip.
We thought we probably ought to put out a little disclaimer, you know, to beware of spring break conferences. You never know what can happen. I had wanted Brian to ask me out on a date for about a year, and he gave new meaning to the word slow.
Sure.
And I could remember the first day when we were going to go skiing on this spring break trip. He was so quiet and so shy. And I remember he walked right up to me when we got off the bus, and we were about 2 hours away from the Glen where we stayed in Colorado Springs at that time, and he walked right up and kind of shuffled his feet and said, "Hey, Vicki, you want to, like, you know, maybe meet for lunch and ski some this afternoon?" And I'm trying to be real cool, and I'm like, "Sure, yeah." Turned around, bent over to pick up my lunch sack off the ground, and ripped out the entire tail end of my ski pants. Now, that's impressive. That's impressive. But there's more. We met for lunch. We had lunch that day, and we went skiing. And I'm trying to be a real hot dog, you know, and impress him with my ski prowess. And we're going through these little trails, and I'm in front. So I can see that there's a drop-off in front of me. But Brian couldn't see that. I don't know if it had anything to do with he was following Rip's ski pants or not. I'm not sure about that. But anyway,
eyes were on the ground.
I saw the drop-off, and I made it, but he didn't, and he wiped out. But what Brian did not notice, but what I noticed, is that he had ripped out the entire crotch of his ski pants. Red long johns. Not a good picture.
Yeah. So that's how we really got introduced to one another.
So we had to get married. You know, when you see your underwear on the first date, you know, it's a done deal.
On the spring break ski trip. So if you're on the bubble as to whether you're going to go or not, we hope this moves you to go. And you never know what's going to happen and who you're going to meet and who you're going to fall in love with. And we will be married 23 years this August. So and it all started while we were here at the BSU. So we have great memories here. We love to meet at OU. The 4 years that we spent at OU, we would both tell you today, 23 years later, we would both tell you today that the 4 years we spent here had the largest impact in our life of anything else, any other four-year period of time, in terms of our spiritual growth. And the reason we do things today that we do, the things we do today as far as ministry goes, is because of what we learned while we were at the BSU. So we love this place. And in fact, tonight, one of the things we're going to talk about has a little bit to do with that. And the topic of what we're sharing tonight is actually called Living on Life Support. And we just want to share with you, I want to start out by just kind of sharing with you kind of what's going on in our family right now. We've had a bit of a rough time the last few weeks, the last several months. And it has to do with health issues, really. It has to do with health issues of my grandfather. I have one grandfather who is still alive. He's 89 years old, and I've been very close to him, and he's dying right now, and we don't know how many weeks or months maybe that he has left, but he's dying right now. And I have had I do consider it a privilege to serve him and to care for him, and our families have been taking care of him basically 24/7 for the last several weeks, and we don't know how long, but it's been amazing to me to watch him and to be with him during this time, and to get to talk to him and to get to ask him what's really important in life. And boy, it's amazing how your perspective changes when you're at the end of it as compared to years before. And and he told me in the car, he and I took him out to dinner the other night, and which is an event. But he told me in the car, I asked him what was most important, and he said his first thing he said was his faith. And I can't imagine being at that point in life without having that, solid foundation of his faith. But then he said, the thing that's most important to him is his relationships, his family and his relationships. And so, boy, it's just really been, it's been permeating my heart and my mind, just thinking about that and watching him and caring for him. In addition to that, my mother's been in the hospital for the last almost 6 weeks, and she's been very critical herself. So we've been really caring for family members lately. Just recently, not this hospital visit, but one recently, she was in the hospital, and we didn't think she was going to live. And it was touch and go. In fact, hour by hour by hour, they were evaluating her life to determine if she was going to live or not. And it gave me, again, an amazing perspective on some things. In fact, she was on life support during this time. And machines and people were sustaining her at that time. And boy, it just burned an image in my mind about the idea of living on life support. The idea of what is it that we need in our life to provide life support to us. And so that to live a healthy life. And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight. In talking about my mother, I wanted to share that, you know, she had critical care nurses beside her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when she was in critical care condition. At one point, after weeks of being there, at one point, our family got out of the hospital for just a dinner together. We hadn't done that in some time. And while we were finishing up our meal, we got a call from the hospital and said, get back up here fast. And we got up there fast, and they come to find out that her heart had stopped. And, you know, an amazing thing. They had gotten their heart started back, and she was stable at that time. But an amazing thing happened. At the very moment that my mother's heart stopped, there was a nurse standing there taking her pulse, taking her vital signs. And there was another nurse sitting at her station watching a heart monitor. She had two people watching her back, taking her pulse when her heart stopped. They were there. They knew immediately what to do. And they saved her life. And just the idea and the picture of that makes me think about who's watching my back, who's taking my pulse, who's there when I need them, that's going to be the life support for me. We've also seen in the past year, heart disease of a different kind that has taken friends of ours out. Heart disease of getting involved in things that they never should have gotten involved in, that has destroyed them and destroyed their families. And I look back on that and I contemplate that and I realize they had a weak life support system. They didn't have a good life support system around them. So, question I want to ask you guys tonight is, what's your life support system? Who is it that's watching your back? Who's going to be there for you when you need it? Who's taking your pulse? Who knows instantly when things are starting to go bad, and when you need help? Who knows instantly that? You know, another question I want to ask you is, what disease will be threatening your life? Maybe it's a physical disease, but maybe more common than not, it might be a spiritual. It might be spiritual warfare that's going on in your life. What is it that could take you out if you're not careful? If you're not paying attention to it, if you don't have somebody that's watching you. You know, it may be some things that might not come to mind real fast. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's immoral relationships. Maybe it's the love of money. Maybe it's the chase after success. Maybe it's spiritual complacency. Maybe it's just busyness. What is it that could get into your life, into your heart, they could take you out if you didn't have somebody, if you didn't have a proper life support system? So what we want to talk about is some relationships, some key relationships that we have found to be our life support system. And you know what? Many of the foundation for that and many of those relationships were actually started right here in this room among our college friends that are still today so a part of our life support system. So we're going to talk about four relationships that we consider to be our, your key relationships for life support. Vicki's going to share the first one with us.
First one we want to talk about is probably what you would expect us to say in a place like this, and that is your relationship with Christ. And although it sounds obvious, we don't want the obviousness of it to downplay how important it is. Obviously, the most critical life support we have is with Christ. When my mother-in-law, Irene, was laying in the hospital hooked up to life support machines, she was hooked up to a kidney dialysis machine. I don't know if you're familiar with the kidney dialysis and what it does, but basically it cleans your blood. It filters it when you can't do that on your own. And that's kind of what we think of when we think of Christ. He does what your system can't do for yourself. What we can't do for ourselves, he does for us. And there's just a couple of things I want to mention real briefly about that. And first of all is the obvious truth, and that is that Christ is our Savior. And like I said, that's obvious, but it is so paramount that it would just be wrong not to stop and mention it and think about that for a while. Now, we often think about Christ as far as saving us from our sins. I mean, probably most of you here could quote Romans 3:23, you know, that we've all sinned, we all fall short of the glory of God. I mean, Scripture is very clear about that we all do that. There's another verse that Brian and I love in John chapter 5. It's John chapter 5, verse 24, and it says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." That's what Jesus does for us. He crosses us over from death to life. He is our Savior. He also saves us from a whale of a lot of trouble. Outside of just not knowing him and coming to a saving knowledge, he saves us constantly every day from getting in trouble by getting too much of ourselves, really. A second thing we want to mention about Christ is that he's our strength and he's our confidence. And that is so important. And it gets more and more important. I think it's something that I appreciate more and more. He gives us strength when we're weak and when we're in need. Now, none of us like to think of ourselves as weak or needy, do we? We just don't like that at all. We don't like to think of ourselves as vulnerable. But we are. At one time or another, we are all very vulnerable. And he is our life support. And we can never forget that. We love Psalm 46:1 that says, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." And I love that word, ever-present. He's always there. He's always checking our pulse. He's always filtering our blood, just like that dialysis machine would do. He's helping keep us clean. He's helping us to live a clean and a better and an abundant life. And we love that. Psalm 62:1 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my fortress. I will never be shaken." Those are powerful words. I will never be shaken. It is our relationship with Christ that gives us strength and it gives us confidence when we just flat don't have it. Several years ago, I remember one day I got up in the morning and had my quiet time like I learned to do here at the BSU, and that's what we called it in the olden days. And I had my quiet time, and I was just doing my regular Bible reading. And one of the things I love about God is how he can take a book that he inspired thousands of years ago and flat nail the circumstances of my life. And that particular day, I had no idea what was going to happen, but I opened it up, and my regular Bible reading is Psalm 139. Now, some of you may be familiar with Psalm 139. It's very significant in my life. But that particular day, I'm reading it, and Brian's sister, my sister-in-law, was getting ready to have a baby, and she was going to be induced that day. And Psalm 139 talks about how beautifully God creates us and how he forms our inward parts and he weaves us in our mother's womb and that we're made in the darkness and he sees us, and it's a beautiful passage. And I thought, well, how cool of God to let me read something like this right before I go to the hospital and see my niece being born. So, you know, I read that and loved it and thanked God for it, grabbed my car keys, walked out the door, went to the hospital to see my niece born. Perfect, healthy pregnancy, but when they cut the cord when she was delivered, she turned blue. And ended up, she had a huge hole in her diaphragm. And nothing is more disenchanting than seeing doctors and nurses running around like they don't know what they're doing. That is very uncomforting. And nobody would come talk to us. And when you're there waiting for a baby, you're waiting for somebody to come out and say, "It's a girl, it's a boy." And, you know, everybody screams and claps. They would come out, nobody even looked at us. But nurses and doctors were just running in and out of that room, in and out of that room. And I remember in the midst of that panic, God reminding me of what I had read that morning, that I'd read Psalm 139, that God forms our inward parts. that He weaves us in our mother's wombs, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that His soul knows it well. It says, in His book our days were written, they were planned for us when as yet there was not one of them. And I remember thinking in the midst of that panic, you know what? God is not panicked. He knows what's going on. Now, I didn't know how God was going to choose to intervene, but just the knowledge that He wasn't running around in heaven like a crazy man gave me comfort. You know, it's kind of like just having a warm blanket wrapped around me at that moment. So He does give us strength and He does give us confidence when we need it. We love what Jerry Bridges says in his book, Trusting God, that God is completely sovereign, He is infinite in wisdom, and He is perfect in love. God is completely sovereign, infinite in wisdom, and perfect in love. And kind of the bottom line of that is that God is in control. He knows what we need, and He knows what's best of us. And He is big enough to handle it. And we can be secure and safe in that fact. So we love that. So that's the first key relationship that we see in our life support system. And that is our personal relationship with God. Nothing else comes close to holding us together like that one relationship does. But it's one we have to stay on top of. We can't rest on the verses we memorized back at this place. We can't rest on quiet times we had years ago. We've got to stay constant in that relationship with Him.
The book she mentioned by Jerry Bridges, Trusting God, several months ago I stopped and just started making a list of what I consider the most important books other than the Word of God that I've read. And I would say this book has been a life change book for me and an incredible book for me. So if you guys haven't read that, and I would encourage you guys to pick up a copy of Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. It's incredible. The second life support system that we see that we need in place is the body of Christ. And the idea that we need one another. You know, again, going back to the visual of my mother, at that time she was on a ventilator. A ventilator that was pushing oxygen into her lungs because she couldn't breathe for herself. That was actually forcing into her the breath of life. And at that time, I clearly can remember the body of Christ coming around us and giving us support when we needed help. When things had gone wrong and we needed help, the body of Christ was there. And in fact, you know, the body of Christ, sometimes we get into this mentality where we think, you know, we don't necessarily need to get plugged into the local church. And when I say the body of Christ, I'm specifically talking about our local church. A body of believers locally who know you, who are connected to you, who are there for you, who are with you. And some of you grew up in that environment, some of you didn't. But we see that as an incredibly important relationship in your life, is that you are plugged in to the body of a local church, the body of Christ in a local church. And in fact, the ways that we have seen that body of Christ be life support to us is one is that their prayer, the prayer of the saints within that local church that came forth and lifted us up in prayer in a time when we needed it most. Prayer warriors that were going to the throne of God on our behalf was a powerful thing. A friend and mentor of mine, Greg Frizzell, who's written a book called How to Have a Powerful Prayer Life, says that where there is little prayer, there is little power. Conversely, where there is much prayer, there is much power. Well, I want the body of Christ praying for me when I need life support, when I need help. I have got to be plugged in to the local body of Christ, to the local church, and be connected there with the fellow believers. Several verses are examples of that. One is in Matthew 26:41. And this is where, you know, it's just a picture to me of when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane before He was going to be crucified, and He went there to pray. And He took His inner circle with Him to go pray. And if you remember the story, they fell asleep, but Jesus comes back and said, in verse 41, He said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." James 5:13-16 is a beautiful picture, I think, of the body of Christ, the local church, in fact, praying for one another. It says, "If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. If any one of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's what the body of Christ did for us. Came around us in a time of need and lifted us up and prayed for us. Another great example is in Acts 12, 1 through 16. This is when Peter was in prison and the church was in the house praying for him, and he was miraculously set free. A beautiful example of a body of believers praying for one another in a time of need. Another important part of the body of Christ, that relationship that is a life support for us, is just simply the support that they provided, the support of the local body of Christ. In Galatians 6:2 it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I don't think God intends us to carry these burdens alone, guys. He wants the body of Christ around us in a way that we can carry one another's burdens when it gets tough, and they can help us. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 talks about how he comforts us so that in turn we can comfort those who are in need around us. And then 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ, talks about the spiritual gifts that we are given. And we're given for the edification of the body of Christ. We're given those gifts not for ourselves. We're given those gifts for the body of Christ. And just a great picture to me of how God has designed and loves the body of Christ and how we need to be plugged into that. And don't ever think that we don't need to be plugged into the local church, to the local body of Christ. It's very important to him. And in that, he has designed a system of support. There's a place for us to minister and a place for us to use our spiritual gifts, but it's also a place for us to connect and to be supported and to be prayed for and to be encouraged. And God intends that we stay plugged in to the local church, to the body of Christ.
We've looked at two key relationships that are part of our life support so far. One is our relationship with Christ, and the second is our relationship with the local church. The third one is we want to kind of hone down the local church a little bit, and that is your inner circle of friends, your inner circle of close friends. And with our illustration of Irene, that would be all the medical professionals that were surrounding her. That would be the nurse who was taking her pulse. It would be the nurse who was sitting at her desk watching Irene's heart monitor. Our inner circle of friends, the ones who are close and alert to what's going on in our life. And there are lots of different ways that they show their love and support. They administer to our needs. They show compassion. They meet practical needs in our life. But they do. They watch our monitors. They check our pulse. They give us encouragement when we need it. And they give us accountability when we need to have a little kick in the pants and we need to give our act together. You just cannot replace a good circle of friends. Very, very, very valuable. A couple of examples that kind of stand out to us. Brian has a fairly recent experience with a friend who is beginning to play around with pornography, which is just a huge thing that is really making a major impact in our country right now. And don't be lulled into thinking it's not going on in the local church, because it's taking down pastors and leaders one right after another. But Brian got insight that this guy was starting to kind of play around with this a little bit. So he found out immediately. He immediately confronted the issue in a loving way because of his love for that person. He knew that this was like a disease that would literally destroy his life. So he helped this guy come up with a very practical plan of how to avoid this trap, set up some real accountability for him, and truly believes that God is healing that friend today. And that is a great thing. And that's because he had somebody close in his life who was watching out for him, who saw when he started getting a little shaky. Another example that we both have, unfortunately, is several years ago, we had the awful experience of sitting in our home and of having one of our oldest and dearest friends come into our house, totally in gut-wrenching pain. A longtime girlfriend of mine had just found out that her husband was messing around with an immoral relationship. Got married when we did, went to the same church that we did, raised their kids doing some of the same things that we raised our kids doing. But this is such a poignant example to us, because Brian immediately you know, got next to this guy and really tried to help him walk him through it. But the sad thing about it is that this friend of ours chose to ignore his life support. He chose not to respond to it. And because of that, then distance happened with his wife. Great distance and pain happened with his children. And he's now in the middle of a nasty divorce. And it's ugly. It is very ugly. And it all happened because he chose not to respond to his life support. He chose, you know, he had somebody there who knew and who was willing to go the whole nine yards and to walk with him. Not somebody who was just judgmental and condemning, but somebody who was willing to help him walk through the tough stuff, who was willing to love on him and forgive him and help him make things right, help him fight for his family. I can't even imagine the numbers of prayers that was said on behalf of this couple. But the man just flat chose not to respond. And that brings up such a bad, difficult point. And that is that no matter what kind of life support you have in play, you and I, we all have to choose whether or not we're going to respond to it. It's our choice. And so that's an example that really still just breaks our heart to think about it. A positive example that I just recently had this last week, Brian shared with you a little bit about what's going on with extended with family members, his mom and his grandfather. There's tons of other stuff going on. I've got three discs that are really messed up at the base of my neck. You know, you've heard of old football injuries. Well, it's an old cheerleading injury, and I'm paying the pain for it right now and waiting to have a surgery that FDA still has not approved in our country. And anyway, having lots of pain, and right in the middle of this time when all this was going on with our family members and we're rushing to try to take care of them, Brian's family is very, very little, beansy family. Both his parents are only children, so there are no aunts and uncles or anybody else to help cover the bases. You know, when a grandfather who needs full-time care is in a home and one of the ones who cares for him is in the hospital and the other one's got to stay with him, you know, the grandkids are it. And so it was a really tough time. We were kicking off our brand new women's Bible study. I had written all the lessons for it. You know, I had, you know, Bible study books up to my eyeballs, couldn't see straight, and I was in a lot of pain. One of the things I can't do is sit for a long time at a computer. So I was really hurting, and I was in a bad way. Well, fortunately, I've got some girlfriends that are close in my life, and they're checking my pulse. They're watching over me, and they saw that I was getting ready to go under, and I was going right over the edge. And they saw Brian was pulled in all different directions. And so immediately we got a phone call from two of our friends who we work with in Sunday school, Garrick and Heather, and they called and said, "Can we teach for you guys Sunday? Can we take care of your Sunday school class?" And we said, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, we did not have time to try to put together a Sunday school lesson. I had two other girlfriends that called and said, "You know, what are you doing today? Are you going to the hospital? Can we bring you dinner?" And I said, "No, you know what I got to do is go to the church and put together these Bible study notebooks." And they said, "We'll meet you up there." And in the middle of their very busy lives, they hauled their little selves right up to church and they stuffed notebooks right alongside of me. I had another girlfriend take me out to dinner and a movie so I could have just a little no-brainer entertainment. I had another friend pray over me in front of a group of other people. I mean, those girls were on it. They were taking care of me. And that's because I was close enough to them that they knew what was going on. And one of the reasons why we don't always experience that, I've learned, is that we're not real quick to let people know what we need, how we feel, and what's going on. We have especially this Christian mentality that I should have it all together. I should look like I have it all together. And I remember feeling more this way when I was closer to your age, when I was young. I felt, you know, I just felt compelled that I looked like I was on top of things. And now I, you know, have lived long enough to know, you know, oh, hang it, I am not on top of things. And nobody is. And nobody really likes people that they think are all on top of things anyway. You know, misery loves company. So we need to be willing to let our friends know what's going on in our lives. Where are we hurting? Where do we need somebody watching our back and helping us out? But a close inner circle of friends is absolutely invaluable. It is a key relationship that will help you with your life support system. Very, very, very important. Never underestimate the influence and the power of healthy friendships in your life. Do whatever you can. Make whatever sacrifices necessary to make those things happen. I have my best friend from college lives in Bartlesville, and I, on many occasions, have driven 2.5 hours to have lunch with her and 2.5 hours back while my kids are in school because I value that relationship. Do whatever it takes to keep healthy friendships in your life.
Yeah. And as we said in the beginning, some of those friendships will happen right here. The importance of those friendships that, that you guys are making right here. And realizing the need for people in your life that are your inner circle, that are watching your back, and that know everything that's going on. I regularly meet with two men that I've known for years, and we meet on a regular basis individually, and these guys know everything about me. These guys have permission to call Vicki at any time and ask her what's up, how am I doing, and get insight that they think I may not be sharing. They can ask anything. They have asked, they ask the tough questions. They ask me what I'm looking at. They ask me, you know, what's going on in my life. And they check on me on a regular basis, and they pray for me on a regular basis. And these guys are invaluable to me. They're part of my life support system. They're a part of the system that sustains me, because I know that my heart is deceitful, and it is fully capable of going down a track that it does not need to be going down, an unhealthy track, an unhealthy lifestyle. But these men are in my life by choice. They're in my life to help me and to prevent that from happening.
That may sound real obvious to you all to have good friendships. I mean, at this point in your life, I mean, that's probably a key priority in college. But the fact of the matter is it gets more and more difficult to do as life goes on. I can remember sitting in your seats hearing an old alumni couple saying that I had more time right now to invest than I was ever going to have. And I remember thinking, well, they clearly did not know what was going on in my life. And now I just laugh. I laugh at how strongly I felt that and how totally off base I was. Life gets very full. Careers happen. Families happen. I mean, a thousand, million, gazillion things happen to take your time and attention. And you've got to work to make friends and to maintain healthy friendships.
The fact is that a good friend never leaves you alone. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A good friend loves unconditionally. Man, we've experienced that in the last couple of years. The not just giving, having others love us unconditionally, but being in a position to love our friends unconditionally. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. And then a friend demonstrates practical love. And in 1 John 3:17-18 talks about, you know, don't just let your love be with words, and but with action. And a friend loves practically as well. So we've talked about three life support relationships: your relationship with Christ and how vitally important that is, your relationship with the local body of Christ in your in the local church, your inner circle. We're not just talking about friends in general. We're talking about the core. We're talking about the two or three that are right there around you. Those that that know everything about you. That inner circle. And so the fourth and the last key relationship that we want to talk about that has been hugely important to me, and that is godly mentors in your life. Having godly mentors in your life. Those who have experience, that know what to do. Those that have been down the road ahead of you. One of the greatest benefits to my life, outside of my relationship with Vicki, my father and my grandfather, has been godly mentors that that are a little bit down the road ahead of me, a little bit older than I am, that have poured themselves into my life. And those relationships don't come easily either. Those relationships take initiative. Those relationships take work. And those relationships aren't just, they're not just selected, I think. God has to ordain those, I think. And the Spirit of God has to draw you together. You know, it made me think of, excuse me, it made me think of my son loves to play video games. And there's one game that he has played over and over and over and over again. He knows this video game. In fact, he has a book on this video game. And the book shows him how to navigate the course to get, you know, to the finish line on this game. How to get through there without getting blown up, you know. He reads that book. He knows how to get there. Well, I tell you what, if I'm playing that game, I want my son looking over my shoulder. I want my son telling me what moves to make, because he's been there. He knows it. And that's kind of a visual to me of how a mentor has helped me in my life as well. He knows the course. He's been down the road. And so he's there to look over my shoulder and to help me and to encourage me and to keep me from driving in the potholes all the time, but because he knows the road to take. Let me read. This is another tremendous book. You guys are so blessed to get to hear Howard Hendricks at your spring break trip. I'm really punching the spring break trip tonight. But the Howard Hendricks, this is a book that has been phenomenal in my life as well. And Howard Hendricks on his book, As Iron Sharpens Iron, is talking about mentoring relationships. Men, this is a must read for men especially, but women, the same applies. He says in here, he says, too many men are trying to go it alone in terms of their marriage and their family life and their personal life, their work, and their spiritual commitments. They're trying to scale mountains of Himalayan proportions solely on the strength of rugged independence. It won't work. Men need mentors, seasoned guides to help them along the way. Bob Bale of Master Planning Group International has pointed out that mentoring is like a group of men scaling a mountain. If a guy is linked to another guy above him, and that man in turn is linked to another man further up the cliff, then together they have safety, stability, and strength. If a man slips and begins to fall, 15 or 20 climbers absorb the impact and pull him back from disaster. But imagine a man climbing alone with no support system. He may achieve great heights, but one wrong move and he can fall thousands of feet to his death without so much as anyone hearing a cry. That's why Scripture says two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. The tragedy is that more and more people in our society are traveling through life as lone rangers. They don't have a life support system. They're placing less and less value on their relationships, with the result that each succeeding generation experiences greater isolation, loneliness, and even despair. Guys, we can't be lone rangers. We can't do it alone effectively. We have found that that those who have these healthy relationships in their life are the successful ones. And those that don't invest in these relationships and see the importance in these relationships, these are the ones that are crashing and burning. One of my dear mentors is a man that you guys hear speak on a regular basis here at Vespers, Ken Humphreys. I heard him speak when I was sitting in your chair as a freshman in college. And I heard him talk about the idea of ministry and business and how God can use me as a businessman, which I love to be a minister to others. I heard that and I heard for the first time it kind of fit and it made sense to me. I called Kent, had lunch with Kent, and that was 25 years ago. And I still have lunch with Kent on a regular basis. And I met with him early in the morning at his office for years. And he mentored me. I went to him with a list of questions about my family, about, you know, marriage, about kids, about work, about money, about anything I could imagine. It was fair game. And my spiritual walk, and we went through those questions one after one after one, week after week. And he helped me and he answered those questions because he had been there. He was far enough ahead of me and down the road that he had the experience in these things that I didn't have. And I got to go through life basically standing on his shoulders and benefiting from that experience. And in fact, unbelievably, how God put it all together. But Kent Humphreys and I are now business partners. And we now are in the same business together. So I see him every day. And it's amazing how God started that right here at a Vespers service 25 years ago.
I want to say one thing about mentors, because I want to kind of challenge you to maybe broaden your mind a little bit about what you think of as a mentor. Brian has had a really cool relationship with Kent. He also has great relationships with several other men. But sometimes, I know I spent a lot of time hoping that I would find that one older godly woman that would really take me under her wing and show me how to do it right. You know, how to disciple and turn the world upside down for Jesus while not making my family suffer while I was doing it. I mean, I wanted that woman to show me how to do it. The fact of the matter is there was never that one woman. But what I've learned is that we need to open our eyes up to all sorts of mentoring opportunities. Whether that is a book on a subject you need to learn about. Whether it is grabbing a speaker at a conference you're going to for breakfast the next morning. I've gone on business trips. I remember years and years and years ago before I wrote my first book, I knew this is part of what God wanted for me, and Brian had a convention in Scottsdale, Arizona. Well, there's a woman I had heard speak that I knew shared my passion that lived in that town. And I flat looked her up and just called her and said, "Hey, I'm going to be in your town this week in October. You know, is there any way that I could buy you lunch? You know, I don't know where I am. Can you come to my hotel? You know, and I'll buy you lunch." But just kind of broaden, open up your mind to what you think about in mentoring. Don't get frustrated if you can't find that one upperclassman that will take you under his or her wing and show you how it's done. Don't get frustrated because there's a limited number of people on staff here at the BSU. Open your eyes up. Take whatever you can get. Be hungry. Always have your eyes and ears open to ways that you can learn from people who are farther along than you are. And that may not be one person every week. But if it's not, great. Even if it is, you know, great. But still look for other opportunities to grow.
So, four relationships that we consider to be our life support system that are critically important. Our relationship with Christ. Guys, the foundation that you're laying right now is a solid foundation that you can live on the rest of your life in terms of spiritually. Lay a good foundation. As Matthew 7 talks about, it's the wise man who lays a solid foundation based on the Word of God. Lay that solid foundation in your relationship with Christ. The second key relationship that is important is to be involved in a local body of Christ. The third one is your friends, your inner circle of friends, guys. Work at it. Find those. Pray for those inner circle, those few, those Peter, James, and John, those few that are there with you and are praying with you and are going through life with you. And then always be learning from an experienced mentor. Find somebody who's been down the road a little bit further that can help you on your journey. And we believe if you have those four relationships that are healthy in your life, then you'll avoid a lot of the disease that's going on in the world around us today. And you can live a healthy, fulfilled spiritual walk with God and have a healthy family and healthy relationships around you, because these things are core and they're key to keeping you out of danger. You know, Vicki and I... Again, we appreciate the opportunity to be here, and we love what's going on here and the ministry that's going on and the life impact that's going on here. And we would love to help you guys in any way that we could. We would love to be available to you guys in any way that we could. So Charlie Ann has my contact information, has our contact, John has our contact information. If we can help you guys in any way, if any of this that you'd like to talk further about, please call us, email us, and we'd love to get together with you. But now let me pray for us and we'll be finished. Father God, I just thank you for, Lord, I thank you for what you do right here. I thank you for the life change that goes on right here, God. And I have seen, for 25 years of my life, I have seen how the seeds that are sown in this room, in the Bible studies on this campus, in the discipleship training, in this ministry, I have seen how those seeds have spread throughout the world, Lord, and are producing fruit. It is an amazing thing to me, and I thank you for that, God. And I pray your blessings would continue to be on this ministry. I pray, God, that your blessings would be on these students. I pray, God, they would hunger for you, God, and they would thirst for their relationship with you, God. I pray, God, that this time they have right now would be foundational for them for their years to come, God. Lord, I pray for these key relationships in their life. Their relationship with you and with the local body of Christ, with dear friends, God, that you put around them, and with godly mentors, God. I pray that everyone in this room, Lord, would have those life support system in place, God, and that they could rely on that it is there for them, God, and that as well they could be there for another, God. So help us, Lord, depend on one another. Help us lock arms on our journey together. Help us encourage one another. Help us to keep each other accountable, God, and help us to pick each other up when we fall, God. And Lord, I thank you for just the ability to have such relationships, God. So Lord, we want to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Christ's name, amen.